The criticism coming into Sunday's game was that the Packers couldn't beat an elite opponent. Well, criticism no longer after earning a victory over a team coached by Bill Belichick and quarterbacked by Tom Brady. We'll break a Packers victory all down on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by live blog director Jamie Snowden along with Alex Talich, we're talking some Packers football. We're recapping a 26-21 victory over the New England Patriots on Sunday, and what a win it is. The Packers improved their record to 9-3 on the season. They are now owners of the league's best record. You're going to be technical tied for the league's best record. But with the Arizona Cardinals losing yesterday to the Packers' next opponent, by the way, we'll get to that later. But the Packers now tied for the number one seed in the NFC. And you have to imagine those Cardinals are going to have another loss coming as they have a couple tough games against the NFC West leading teams like the good teams like the Seahawks and the 49ers. So excited to see what happens. But before we talk about the future, let's talk about the past. Let's talk about what happened yesterday, because as we mentioned in the intro, the Packers hadn't beaten an elite team in a long, long time, this season in particular. And I think a lot of people were skeptical. There weren't going to be a lot of believers until the Packers beat that elite team. Well, they beat one yesterday. They beat one on Sunday. This is a future Hall of Fame coach. This is a future Hall of Fame quarterback that they beat. And I think a lot of people are going to be jumping on board the Green Bay Packers bandwagon after yesterday's victory. By the way, folks, we were supposed to have former NFL player Ross Tucker, current NFL analyst. He's on NBC Sports. He's on Sirius XM NFL Radio. He was supposed to join us on the show this morning. He had travel problems, delay issues at an airport. We'll hope to get him back on at some point in the future, but you're stuck with me for the time being. You don't have to be if you don't want to, though, after a big victory. If you want to call into the show, feel free, 347-903-5994. If you want to discuss this with me, it's as much your show as it is mine. So feel free to call in if you want to talk some Packers football, because we have no guest today. But I do have thoughts on this Packers game regardless, and I guess we'll start here with the
Packers news of the day.
The Packers outplay the New England Patriots, and I thought one interesting aspect of yesterday's game was Aaron Rodgers outplaying Tom Brady. And it really probably is by the slimmest of margins, because Tom Brady did not have a bad game by any stretch of the imagination, but Aaron Rodgers just seemed to be that little bit better in almost every category that you could possibly analyze these two quarterbacks. And I guess if I'm citing statistics here to compare them, Aaron Rodgers completed 24 of 38 passes for 368 yards. He threw two touchdowns, didn't throw an interception. He had a passer rating of 112.6. He took three sacks for 20 yards. By comparison, Tom Brady, he completed 22 of 35 passes That's good for only 245 yards. So the Packers have over 100 more passing yards than the Patriots. Tom Brady also throws two touchdown passes. Likewise, doesn't throw an interception. He was sacked once. His passer rating, 102.7. So really not a bad outing from Tom Brady at all. This was a matchup of two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that's evidenced by the fact that this was basically a flawless game with no turnovers by either side. You know, so frequently when a team wins the turnover battle, that is like the number one indicator of who's going to win the game. And in a game where there's no turnovers, you know, it's anybody's game. And Aaron Rodgers played just that little bit better than Tom Brady. Those completions were a little bit longer. I mean, just look at the one to Jordy Nelson, where he takes 45 yards, coming on a key, crucial third down. Yeah, I mean, Jordy Nelson takes it the distance for a touchdown. That right there is just about the difference in the ball game. And you know, it's tough to beat a team when their quarterback plays well. I mean, say this about Tom Brady. The Packers only sacked Tom Brady once yesterday. And what's interesting, I think, is that the Packers actually got a pretty good pass rush. You wouldn't know it by looking at the statistics. But the Packers really hurried Tom Brady into several incompletions. And the reason they didn't come away with these gaudy sack numbers is because Tom Brady is so good, he's not going to allow the defense to have sacks. When he feels that pressure, he's getting rid of the football. He's not going to accept a loss of yardage. I mean, the other flip side of the coin is, yeah, he was hurried into some incompletions, which is certainly great for the Packers defense as well. But I think that's why you only saw one sack yesterday. And the one sack certainly came at a big moment in the game. That last time the Patriots held the football when they sacked the Brady on third down, Mike Neal and Mike Daniels kind of combining for the sack there. The one sack they did get was absolutely humongous. But yeah, I mean, the Packers, I thought, had a pretty decent pass rush. It's just when you play an elite quarterback like Tom Brady, he's not going to sit there and take them. You know, like a lot of young quarterbacks might. And I mean, it's the same with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers may have allowed three sacks yesterday. But I mean, kudos to the Packers offensive line, because pretty much all those sacks are well after the point where, like, you expect the offensive line to do their job. You know, that those sacks are coming like 5 seconds after the snap. And really, I'd say, what, two of those sacks are really on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he holds on the football because he wants to make a play, and he doesn't. I mean, he's got to step up in the pocket after about 5 seconds. It just eventually gets taken down. But I mean, you know, it was hardly the offensive line's fault. The offensive line as a unit played fantastic yesterday. And I'll tell you what, you know, I sit there and I try to come up with every game that the post-game analysis here we publish here at Cheesehead TV, the Chips Report. And I've got this formula that I stick to all the time. You know, you come away with, I designate two players as blue chips, outstanding play. And a lot of times those players are easy to recognize, blue chip players. I mean, Aaron Rodgers yesterday and Randall Cobb, both very, very deserving blue chip performers. Then you got the red chips, who are good, maybe not great play. And then you got the cow chips, the bad, the players who perform the worst. And I always, you know, always have to. It's always players, never coaches. Just kind of this formula I came up with. And to be consistent from game to game, from year to year, been doing this for multiple seasons here at Cheesehead TV, I like it to keep it consistent. But in a game yesterday that was so well played, like I said, a zero turnover game, it's hard to find these guys. Who out there is standing? Because there was so many players deserving and worthy of the distinction of being recognized for their good play, and it's really tough. You know, I knew immediately after yesterday's game, the Packers' offensive line did fantastic. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was rarely under pressure. Hey, I would single out that one play. It was the fourth quarter where Aaron Rodgers was back in the pocket for like 12 seconds. I mean, partially was because I think the Patriots only rushed three players. But he just sat back there, and it was just, you know, he had all the time in the world. And you know that the Packers' offensive line had a great game. But, I mean, it's so tough. I guess the point I'm trying to make here is until you go back and analyze film, it's so hard to sit there and say, you know, recognize which one out of those five players, David Bakhtiari, Josh Sitton, Corey Linsley, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, I mean, which one of those guys was deserving of it? Until you sit down and you watch film, it's so tough to say. I mean, all those guys did a good job, I know, but who played the best out among them? You know, you got to sit down and watch the entire game and who was the best in pass protection, who was the best in pass blocking. And you know, they really all did a good job. So, in general, the offensive line did fantastic. The Packers' running game perhaps was an elite yesterday, but it was good enough to get the job done. Eddie Lacy had 98 yards on the ground. So great job there. I thought the Packers' wide receivers, though, maybe stood out more than any other group out there. I mean, already referenced the 45-yard touchdown by Jordy Nelson against Darrell Revis, you know, against the best, you know, arguably one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. And by the way, what we have here is I've got some of Aaron Rodgers' post-game comments from his press conference talking about the Patriots' defense and what they tried to do, what they tried to take away. It really kind of is interesting when you hear Aaron Rodgers talk about the Patriots' game plan and how the Packers countered. Take a listen here to Aaron Rodgers after yesterday's game.
Well, actually, Swiss, you know, they moved Brandon Browner over to Devontae after we had some success, but they're a matchup defense. So if they want to try and take away Jordy and Randall, is basically Revis one-on-one with Randall, and then Browner with a little bit of help on Jordy. So we try to get Devontae involved. He made some big plays for us. Then they switched it over. Then we took a chance, a couple shots with Jordy on Revis. But Randall, you know, we moved him around in the backfield, motion out, in the slot, outside, and just trying to find ways to get those guys the ball.
What did you make of their plan? It looked like they didn't blitz much.
Yeah.
Some spying, a lot of contain on the rush.
Great plan. I mean, it was they mixed things up. They brought, they brought the six guys at times or five guys. They brought both the inside guys and the double mug pressure. They rushed three guys. They probably a couple times, maybe only two of the guys rushed. It was a calculated rush as well. They kind of rushed to my depth and then kind of sunk back underneath. There was rarely a time where the rush was high and wide. So very disciplined defense. Did a great job in the red zone, slowing us down. But we moved the ball pretty efficiently from our end into the red zone.
So there's Aaron Rodgers talking about the Packers and how they countered Patriots game plan yesterday. And getting back to the wide receiver play, I thought it was fantastic because you've got Jordy Nelson, who everybody knows now is one of the best wide receivers in the game, and he got his touchdown yesterday. But you've got Randall Cobb, who led the team with 7 receptions for 85 yards. And it's amazing how many of Randall Cobb's catches go for first downs. Randall Cobb has to have one of the highest first down percentages in the entire NFL. Gonna have to look that up. I should have looked that up prior to the show here. I don't know how quickly statistics get updated after Sunday's game. But you know, and yesterday, of course, the perhaps one of the biggest plays of the game is the Packers' final possession, where it's just more than 2 minutes left, right before the 2 minute warning. Packers got third down, and Randall Cobb gets open against the Patriots defense. Aaron Rodgers hits him, connects, converts that first down, moves the chains, and that's the game. From there on out, the Patriots had no timeouts left, and you know, just able to go into victory formation and kneel down and run out the clock. That right there was a huge play. And you know, I would be remiss here if I didn't recognize a rookie wide receiver, Davante Adams, especially coming off a game last week against the Minnesota Vikings, arguably his worst game of the year, really struggled, in which he got the cow chip distinction last week against the Vikings, basically more or less bouncing back. You know, Davante Adams sets career highs, 6 receptions, 121 yards, and it could have been even better. And, you know, just going back to the old chips report here, I kept Davante Adams out of the chips report, and that's perhaps being a little harsh on him, but he dropped the one surefire touchdown pass that would have pushed it to a 2-score game in the fourth quarter. That one was really a missed opportunity for Davante Adams. Thankfully, the Packers are able to overcome it, get the victory anyway. And hey, it's a lesson for the rookie, hopefully one he learns from. But you gotta say he's trending in the right direction for sure. And a very good day from Davante Adams. Again, you know, you can see the Patriots game plan meant to take away Nelson and Cobb. So, hey, who do they go? Who does Aaron Rodgers recognize as the favorable matchup? It's Davante Adams. They get the ball to him a bunch of times and ends up having a big day. That's so big going forward for this team as the Packers try to find ways to win a game, because you got to imagine that's going to be the game plan for a lot of opponents going forward, especially in the playoffs. Got to stop Jordy Nelson, got to stop Randall Cobb. So the Packers going to have to find other targets. Well, they did on Sunday. You know, Adams steps up, and, you know, Richard Rodgers has a touchdown for the second consecutive game. Andrew Quarles has a couple first down conversions. When you get play like that, you know, that's a key to the game. Packers key to their passing game, as well. Defensive side of the football. I think I have to make special mention here. The biggest thing that stuck out to me was the decision by the coaching staff to insert Sam Barrington into the starting lineup in place of AJ Hawk. I think we're seeing a changing of the guard here, and I have to credit Dom Capers and, you know, whoever else had a hand in it, whether it's Mike McCarthy, whether it's linebackers coach Winston Moss, whoever decided to make this change. I think it was time, if not overdue. And you know, that didn't mean AJ Hawk didn't play a role. AJ Hawk still played in the Packers base defense whenever Clay Matthews, you know, went and played his old outside linebacker spot. AJ Hawk was back out there on the field, but it was, you know, half the time you know, Sam Barrington was out there. He was the starter at inside linebacker, perhaps of the present and the future. And I mean, you saw it against the Vikings when A.J. Hawk got exposed on that crossing route when he was trailing in coverage and just doesn't have the speed to get it done. I mean, you know, A.J. Hawk is valuable in so many ways in that he's always healthy. He's always smart. He always, you know, he's the leader of the defense, the communicator, the guy with the microphone in his helmet, lining the defensive linemen up. There's so many good things that A.J. Hawk does, and it's, you know, it's a lot of smarts for him that help him overcome athletic limitations. But, he does have so many limitations that you can't make up for them all. And it's the speed more than anything. But Sam Barrington's young. He's a thumper. He's not afraid to stick his nose in there. He was very good yesterday at filling lanes, filling running lanes, and plugging holes. I mean, it wasn't like this Pro Bowl performance from Sam Barrington, but he just looked comfortable out there. He was where he was supposed to be, and he did come up. He put one quarterback hit on Tom Brady. He batted down one pass in pass coverage. I mean, when you add all those things up, I mean, it was a great job by Sam Barrington yesterday, and hopefully one that you kind of see him in the starting lineup going forward. You know, when him and Clay Matthews are back at the inside linebacker position together, I mean, you just have to smile and be like, yeah, this is a good combination. And you know, it's allowing Mike Neal and Nick Perry to play up front, and it's all about getting the best 11 players on the field. The Packers, I think, you know, they made one huge change already when they, you know, moved Clay Matthews to the inside. They made another huge change when they started to play Sam Barrington, you know, ahead of A.J. Hawk yesterday. Kudos to Dom Capers. I mean, it took half the season, but the Packers finally did it, and it's paying dividends right now. That was a huge, huge move. The Packers predictably didn't stop Tom Brady and the Patriots offense cold. The Patriots come into the game as the number one scoring offense in the NFL, averaging over 32 points a game. Well, the Packers hold them to 21. I mean, when you hold the team to under their average, you know, you can probably consider that a victory. Did the Packers have rough moments? Yeah, I think everybody in the secondary got exposed at some point or another. And again, going back to the post-game analysis, I had such a hard time coming up with, you know, who deserves the cow chips, because I think even though there were guys in the secondary were exposed, there were times where they almost all of them made up for it. And Devon House, who gives up the touchdown pass, doesn't get his head around in time. He ends up getting the guy, the distinction of the cow chip, basically for giving up the scoring play. And that wasn't a great job by House by any means. But like almost all these guys did something well in addition. I mean, talk about Morgan Burnett, Micah Hyde, Devon House, Tremont Williams, HaHa Clinton Dix. All these guys got beat by Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, especially at one point or another. But I mean, look at Tremont Williams and how many tackles he had short of the first down marker. If you read the chips report at Cheesehead TV, if you go scroll down to the bottom right-hand corner of your screen and check out the chips report in our recent articles section and look at the comments, they're like, I think Tremont Williams was deserving of a cow chip. And you know what? He gave up the one touchdown pass. But he had like five tackles short of the first down marker. Now, and I went and checked out the grading they do at ProFootballFocus.com. And Tremont Williams had like the second highest grade. He came out as the second highest graded player on defense yesterday because he made up for it. You know, sure, he gives up the one touchdown, but there was so many times when he made those tackles, sure tackles, ahead of the first down marker. That really was a very, very good job by Tremont Williams yesterday. And like I said, you know, maybe Morgan Burnett, Micah Hyde, those guys, you know, kind of got burned a few more times. And, you know, I use the term burned with a grain of salt. I mean, if those are the worst performances we see out of Morgan Burnett and Micah Hyde all year, I mean, you can live with that. I mean, sure, they give up a few receptions, but those guys didn't give up any touchdowns. They weren't getting beat deep. They kept, for the most part, kept things in front of them. And, you know, I think that's fantastic. You know, the Packers defense battled. Up front, Mike Daniels had one heck of a game. He was harassing Tom Brady. He ends up being the highest graded Packers player on defense, according to ProFootballFocus.com. And I said that last sack of the game where he and Mike Neal kind of come together to sack Tom Brady. Boy, they couldn't find a better time for their one sack of the game, coming in the fourth quarter when the Patriots are driving. They end up, you know, settling for a field goal instead of going for a touchdown. That was huge right there, because, I mean, had the Patriots decided to go for it and convert and end up scoring a touchdown, this could be a whole different game right now. We could be talking about a loss instead of a win. Special teams, Mason Crosby ends up having a little bit of a rough day. You know, he's out there for 5 field goal attempts, which is crazy. The Packers, by the way, 0 of 4 in red zone opportunities, because they had to settle for so many field goals instead of touchdowns. Mason Crosby misses. I mean, when you convert 4 out of 5, you know, and you make 80% of your field goals in one day, that's not necessarily too bad. Mason Crosby, again, kind of made up for his mistakes. But he also kicked the one out of bounds on the kickoff. That was a killer. Mason Crosby probably could have had a better game. So a little bit of a rough outing there from him. But thankfully, the Packers offense bails him out. And they're the 2 touchdowns the Packers do get, they're able to score from outside the red zone. Hey, they still count the same. Even if the Packers are 0-4 in the red zone, a win is a win. You know, those touchdowns they did score from further out still count the same amount of points. So, you know, the Packers found ways to get it done. Like I said, when Jordy Nelson is scoring from 45 yards out, that's kind of the difference in the ball game. So the Packers win 26-21. Like I said, now owners of the best record in the NFL, coming up against the Atlanta Falcons next week on Monday Night Football. So nationally televised next week in primetime. Looking forward to that. But now we have
the day ahead.
The world of the Green Bay Packers on Monday. It's talk show circuit day. On Monday, as always, the Packers have, like, there's 7 talk shows tonight on local media between television and radio, the internet. Aaron Rodgers is the guest on Clubhouse Live. I know it's a big deal for them because, you know, normally you go to Clubhouse Live in Appleton. Folks, if you want to watch the taping of that in person, normally you just walk in the door. There's no, you don't have to pay. You don't have to do anything. Well, this week with Aaron Rodgers, the face of the franchise, coming to the show, I know they kind of had some sort of charity deal where you had to make donations in order to gain entrance. And I think, you know, that's a great idea. Otherwise, there would be people lined up outside the door to do it. But anybody can watch it live, streaming online, clubhouselive.com. So make sure to check that out. Big occasion for them. Jordy Nelson hosts Inside the Huddle tonight on Fox 11 in Green Bay, and a
whole network of stations later in the week. How about Jordy Nelson? Do you remember the VH1 television show Best Week Ever? I think it's since been canceled. I think it was just canceled a few months ago, to tell you the truth. But Jordy Nelson might have been considered, I think, for the best week ever. Because last Tuesday, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. The day after that, when the NFL released Pro Bowl voting results, he was among the top two wide receivers in the NFL in balloting for the Pro Bowl online fan voting. And then on top of that, he scores the long touchdown yesterday. Today, he gets to break it all down. He gets the moment in the spotlight to discuss it on Inside the Huddle. So check that out if you're in the Green Bay area or outside later in the week. And head coach Mike McCarthy has his post-game press conference at 2:15 p.m. Central Time on Monday, as usual, streamed live at Packers.com. The team's official website. Thankfully, I don't think we're talking about any injuries the day after a game, and that's so important to the Packers moving forward. They beat the Patriots, and you don't have a single guy, to my recollection, that came out of the game due to injury, or at least was anything major, at least. For a while, you kind of worried about Aaron Rodgers, his hand getting stepped on, but he finishes the game. Eddie Lacy kind of came out of the game for a while. He ends up coming back. Doesn't seem to be any injuries, so that makes Victory Monday even sweeter. Although sometimes, as we saw with, Nick Perry this past week and Jared Bush, the injuries have a way of cropping up that, aren't recognized during the game, but after the adrenaline wears off, then they kind of start to show themselves. Hopefully that's not the case this week, but we'll learn more from Mike McCarthy. Like I said, 2:15 p.m. Central Time Monday on Packers.com. That'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in, listening to the show. It's fantastic to sit here and discuss a Packers victory. I admit, I was those predicting a Patriots victory. I now fall to 10-2 on the season straight up in picking Packers games. I couldn't be happier to get one wrong. I hope nobody out there is following my advice and actually betting money on it. Don't do that. So I am happy to get it wrong. I just predict it for the sake of the show. I don't put any money on it myself. So all I do is get it for bragging rights when I can brag about a 10-2 victory. And it was 10-1 prior to yesterday and couldn't feel any better than being wrong. That'll do it, folks, for today's episode of Railbird Central. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Caribou. Stay tuned for all your Packers news needs all week long on our blog at cheeseheadtv.com. We'll see you again on Wednesday when Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com will join us as the guest. But we'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Freaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.